Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another biweekly broadcast of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you from a rainy, well, now I guess it stopped raining, but it showers all day, and the temperature is at airtime 67 degrees, and we're supposed to get some of this weather for the next few days. So we take it as it comes, but welcome to the show. I hope you had a good and safe 2 weeks. We have certainly lots of difficulties to contend with, but this gives us an opportunity to grow. Remember, if you didn't have any opposition, a weightlifter can't grow his muscles or his strength unless he has the opposition of the heavy weights, the barbells, and what have you. So in life, we have these trials and tribulations. I think that they're somewhat of a test, especially as I'm a Christian, and I believe that we are being tested on this planet, in this plane, and there is another place other than what we are familiar with here on Earth. So we deal with the problems of the day, and a biblical passage says, take care of today's problems. That's a good policy that I've followed. A lot of people worry about many things down the road. And, of course, remember the passage of the lilies in the field, that they don't toil or worry, and the Father in heaven takes care of everything. So again, welcome to the show. It's June 28th, 2020. There's only two more days left in the month of June and 2 days left in the quarter, the second quarter, which ends on June 30th. The 3 months of April, May, and June. Many figures are compiled by the quarter. We get GDP readings. And, of course, we have the monthly reports coming out for June. So there'll be a lot of financial information coming out after after Monday. Monday's the 30th. No, Tuesday's the 30th. So beginning on Wednesday will be the 1st of July. And, of course, we'll be coming into the big national holiday of the 4th of July, Independence Day, coming up on July the 4th. And this year that falls on a Thursday. So I would imagine a lot of people will be looking forward to a four-day weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Of course, with the coronavirus and the lockdowns, there may not be so much traveling, but each case is different, so we'll take that as it comes. But I want to let you know that the chat room is open, and the call-in number is 914-803-4379. And if you do call in, please give me your city and state that you're calling from, your first name. And if you're calling from outside of the country, give me your first name and the city and country you're calling from. We've had very few of those, but you never know. There's no one in the chat room right now, but it is open, so come in. If you don't want to call the show, you can chat. Hopefully there'll be some people in there to chat with. But I'd like to get some people to call and let me know how you're dealing with this pandemic, this COVID-19. And President Trump says, what does the 19 mean? And I have the same question. I don't know what it means, and I haven't researched that. I don't think it's too important. We know it's a virus, and it's got a lot of detrimental effects on our country and on the world. But actually, the United States seems to be getting hit the hardest. And I'm going to be right now talking about the statistics, the coronavirus statistics. And they are going up, as you know. Every 2 weeks, they're higher. And I crunched some of the numbers. I have found that the old website that I use, the coronavirusstats.net, had some strange figures that didn't make sense. So I found another website where you can write it down and go to it and look at the figures, crunch some of the numbers. And that website is www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. Again, www.worldometers, worldometers.info/coronavirus. And in that website, we see a lot of statistics. Okay, it looks like I have a call in. So let's see who is calling us here. Hello? 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 Nope, I guess I disconnected him. Call me back. I lost the connection. So caller, call me back and I'll make sure you're on. Sorry about that. I don't get too many calls and I'm not that familiar with the switchboard. But please call back. Right, let me go back to the coronavirus statistics. We have the global figures are on the amount affected is 10,197,386. The active 4,172,659. The dead from the virus is 503,149. And the recovered is a big figure of the recovered, 5,521,578. All right, I guess the caller is back. Let me try it this time. Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Hello? I'm clicking live, but I don't hear anybody. Caller from area code 561. Hello? I don't know what's wrong here, but... Caller, can you hear me?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello? Who is this calling from area code...
Bostonian.
Calling from 561. Can you give me your first name?
Yeah, I can hear you, Bill. Yeah. There's an echo.
Okay, Charlie, calling from Florida, right?
Yeah, I get you on the phone, but on the computer, there's a time warp.
Yeah, there's all kinds of glitches, and you're not too much into this technology, but at least you got through to me. Is this
right.
This is your first time calling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you.
It's
welcome.
A 7-second delay or something.
Yeah, talk a little louder, Charlie, okay? You have to talk louder. I can hardly hear you.
All right. Yeah, I want to let you know that it was 9,000 cases today.
Talk a little louder. Say it again.
Yeah, 9,000 cases today. My missus
9,000.
Is doing all right.
9,000. Wait a minute. 9,000 what?
Cases.
Cases of coronavirus? 9,000 just in Florida?
Just in Florida.
Just for today? I don't think that's right.
Just
I'm going to be
today.
Reading. I'm going to be reading off some of the statistics. Hold on a minute. Let me see what I have for Florida. I have I have the different countries.
My missus, she's all right.
All right. Well, let's see what
I'm
the
right.
figures. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
You sound well.
Yeah, I'm looking at. There's a nice website you can go to. I don't know if you heard me, but it's Worldometers. Worldometers.info/coronavirus. They have all kinds of statistics. We've passed the 500,000 deaths globally. Half a million deaths globally. Yeah, I can't hear you, Charlie. I don't want to spend too much time because I can't hear you. But just listen to the show.
Website. If you could spell the website.
Yeah, keep trying to get it. I only have a little bit of time, so I have to kind of cut.
What's the website?
For the coronavirus, it's www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. www.worldometers.info/coronavirus. Yep. The USA is now up to on the deaths. They have total deaths of 128,392. That's about 20% of the world's total. So we're way ahead of the other countries. Brazil is number two, and then the United Kingdom and Spain and Mexico, and then it goes down from there. But I appreciate you calling in. If you want to go into the chat room, if you can find it, there may be people in there that you can talk to, chat with.
Well, maybe I will. I'd like to know about what the market is doing.
Yeah, I can't hear you, Charlie. That's why I'm spending too much time trying to understand what you're saying. So I got to go cover some material.
Yeah, but I'm trying to ask you, what's the market like?
Well, I'm going to be covering that soon. Right now, gold is doing well. The stocks, the NASDAQ's doing really well. But the other two, the Dow Jones and the S&P, are kind of sinking. But we're having a lot of trouble in the country with the statues being destroyed. They beheaded the statue of Christopher Columbus in the North End. I don't know if you heard about that.
I heard they stopped it.
They beheaded the statue in the North End. And now the city
when
of Boston
originally tried to destroy that statue, the people stopped it.
No, they cut the head off, definitely. And they the city has moved the statue to another location for storage until they assess the damage and decide the future. But no, they didn't stop that. There was another Columbus statue in Virginia, but the one in the north end, the head was definitely taken off by somebody. So, you can do some research on that on the computer. Put in Christopher Columbus statue and do a search on it. You'll find out all the details. All right, Charlie, time's ticking.
Yeah,
I got to go. I'm sorry.
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too.
But
thanks
Tony,
for calling in.
Night.
And we'll talk again. Keep in touch. Thank you.
Welcome.
All right, ladies
Bye-bye.
And gentlemen, that was Charlie from the Sunshine State of Florida calling in, and he is going to hopefully listen to the rest of the show. But anyway, I just wanted to say that we have statistics here of the U.S. has these are the death certificates, death statistics. The U.S., 128,392, and that's up 11% from the prior show 2 weeks ago. And the world global statistics are over 503,149, and that's up about 17% from 2 weeks ago. So there's still the virus is not equivalent to the flu. We never have these kind of figures in a flu season, in the regular flu season anyway. I never remember figures like this in the past. So we hopefully will deal with it, and we will have a way to maybe they will find a vaccine, or maybe the warmer weather might have an impact. I know the northern part of the country seems to be doing a lot better than the southern states, of which Charlie is in Florida, and Texas is quite severe now. So it's kind of it doesn't pay attention to borders or politics. It just is a medical situation, a virus that just travels as it will. So anyway, I didn't want to point out that I'm going to mention it later, but I don't want to miss it. That I don't know if you heard the quote by Joe Biden saying that the deaths are in the United States are now 120 million. I mean, hello, this is a person that's running for president, and he makes comments like that. It just is not a good sign. But anyway, well, over 10 million people have been diagnosed, and we have over 500,000 people died in this country, 10 million diagnosed worldwide. So let's pray that these people recover and that the pandemic subsides and we have to deal with the effects that it's having on the economy. The lockdowns and the unemployment rate is in the millions, and the stimulus checks have gone out. I don't know if you've all received it, $1,200 per person and $2,400 for a couple, plus $500 for certain children. So we after those, I don't know how long they can keep issuing stimulus checks. We already have an unbelievable amount of debt. So I want to mention that the that there has been a Supreme Court decision that I want to cover. Dr. Chapp sent me an email, and this was a decision on employment, and the Supreme Court has decided in a 6-3 decision that the 1964 Civil Rights Act protects the GL the GLT employees from discrimination based on sex. The ruling was 6-3, and Justice Neil Gorsuch was considered the conservative justice who was Trump's first appointee, and he sided with along with Roberts, the other supposedly conservative justice, for those two, and then the four liberal justices. Gorsuch said that we must decide whether an employer can fire someone simply for being homosexual or transgender. The answer is clear. He found such discrimination is barred by the language in the 1964 law that bans discrimination in employment based on race, religion, national origin, or sex. So let's see what Dr. Chaps has to say about it. He is concerned with the effects that it has on churches. So here we go.
Dr. Chaps, our last segment has analysis of the ruling. What does it really mean? Well, we've had got a few question and answer sessions for Dr. Chaps. Here's my personal analysis of this Supreme Court decision. Now, I'm not a lawyer, I'll tell you that, but I am a former state representative, I am a lawmaker, and I have helped change bad laws or policies pertaining to religious freedom in 13 states and twice in the federal government with our petitions. So here is my analysis. What does the ruling really mean? Well, first, Title 70 of the U.S. Code applies to discrimination on the basis of sex to male and female hiring decisions, but now that does include LGBT employees whose status is technically not the same as sex, but the court treat them as the same for hiring and firing decisions by secular employers. Justice Gorsuch was clear, however, this does not apply to accessing opposite gender bathrooms. That's good news. It does not yet apply and allow boys to compete in girls' sports, which, by the way, the Trump administration recently ruled violates Title IX of federal law in equality in sports funding. Our second question, will this Supreme Court decision apply to churches? And we answer unequivocally, no. The First Amendment still protects churches and religious institutions in their hiring decisions as it pertains to their inherently religious functions. Now, there is some question about whether a Catholic school is going to have to hire and fire a janitor as opposed to a teacher who's teaching religion. And that brings up our third question. Will this Supreme Court opinion, affect religious employers like Catholic schools or Christian bookstores? My answer is probably not, but that's unclear, and they'll have to fight it out in court. The three cases in this particular Supreme Court decision from last week involved a skydiver, a funeral director, and a county employee, but did not argue that they were a Christian employer per se, which may have religious freedom, as we said. But it does require secular businesses with no religious mission to not discriminate against LGBT employees. Question number four, will this decision affect Christian bakers, photographers, and florists who don't want to perform gay weddings? The answer is no. Because 2 years ago in 2018, in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case, my friend, the Christian baker Jack Phillips in Denver, won at the Supreme Court in a 7-2 ruling. The governments may not be hostile to Christian business owners. And by the way, Christians don't have to participate in somebody else's inherently religious wedding ceremony. We can opt out. And the last question we're bringing up for my analysis is this. Chaplain, you were a Navy chaplain. How will this decision affect the military? My answer is, it doesn't yet affect the military, but it will be cited by transgender activists as a reason to allow men to wear women's uniforms in the military. Yes, the Obama administration started to allow that, but the Trump administration partly reversed and has disallowed the recruiting of new, unstable gender changers into the military and has not allowed men to wear women's uniforms. Anthony Village People song about that, right? And that's my analysis of the Supreme Court decision. Here's what the Bible.
Okay, well, there's a little analysis on the ruling by Dr. Chaps, who was a pastor and a former state representative in Colorado and a Navy chaplain graduate of the United States Air Force Academy. So we'll see how all of these issues play out, and there's going to be more cases, I'm sure, hitting the courts. And let's pray that the justices make a proper and just decision. All right, well, I got to give you some financial information here. The Dow Jones closed the week at 25,015.55. It was down from 2 weeks ago. The NASDAQ at 9,757.22. And there just seems to be no stopping the NASDAQ. That was up from 2 weeks ago. And the S&P 500 was closed at $3,009.05, and that was down. So other than the NASDAQ, it looks like the stocks are starting to go down, and this pretty much is what Peter Schiff, the economist that I follow quite a bit, is saying, that we may see more drops in the equities and maybe even in the NASDAQ. Gold, the yellow metal, closed at $1,771.50 an ounce. That was up from 2 weeks ago. That's been up steadily. It seems to be gradually eking its way toward the 1800 level. Silver also is up from 2 weeks ago, and that closed Friday at $17.80. My guess is we're going to see gold hit 2,000 probably this week coming up, and silver at $18 an ounce. I want to give you the real clear average polls of the approval polls for President Trump. His approval rating has been dropping with all of the attacks on him by various forces, but his approval rating is at 41.4. That's down from 2 weeks ago, and his disapproval rating, as you would expect, is gone up. It's at 55.8. So hopefully he will start to turn those numbers around. We certainly have to wonder about how Joe Biden can be leading when we hear a comment by him, such as the one I'm going to play right now. If I can find it. Here we go.
And dead from COVID. Unnecessarily. Now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
What?
Unnecessarily. Now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
Yes, you heard him right, ladies and gentlemen. He said we have over 120 million dead from COVID-19. But he's leading in the polls by many polls at double digit. 10%, 10 points. We're running out of time in the main part of the show here. I wanted to read a clip from the Judicial Watch, who is fighting the Biden folks with regard to the Burisma Ukraine Hunter Biden involvement. So they something might break shortly on that. All right, so I want to thank you all for coming. The next show will be on after the 4th of July, on July 12th, 2020. I wish you the safety for the next 2 weeks and forever, actually. We'll see you. Happy 4th of July, and God bless you, and God bless America. Good night, everyone.
Oh,
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Bostonian, host of the Money Show with the non-live portion of the broadcast, 15 minutes of yours truly talking. And no call-ins at this time, but if you want to call in, you'll have to save it for the next show, which, as I mentioned, is going to be on July the 12th, 2020. So what am I going to talk about? Well, I'm going to play a clip of my favorite, one of my favorites. I think he is my favorite person to get his views. And, of course, he's the former candidate for governor of Massachusetts, who I worked with and would have just loved to see him get elected back in 2018 when he did really well with the forces that were against him. And he is an avid Trump supporter who believes that the president will win in a landslide. But he is somewhat taken aback with the conservatives of around, especially in some of his recent discussions with them, and the criticism that they were throwing at President Trump. And so he has spoken out about it, and he has a website. You can go to his website and hear all of the articles and videos that he posts. But this one in particular, I think we should hear, because people are, you know, President Trump has got an awful lot on his plate. I don't know how he does it myself. I have a hard time just doing the little that I do and talking to people on the internet, doing this radio show every 2 weeks. He has to deal with a myriad of problems. The president has to deal with a myriad of problems day after day, week after week. And he's 70. I'm older than him, but he's pretty far along with Biden. They're both in their 70s. So let's give him credit where it's due. And if you want to write to the White House about your criticisms, you can do that. But be polite and do what you think is in his best interest and that of the country. He doesn't have to agree with you, but you have your right of if one of your three V's, your voice, freedom of speech, First Amendment. I like to talk about our three V's, the voice, our valuables, and then our vote coming up in November. And I hope, and there is some talk about voting by mail-in voting, and I'm not sure. I would be opposed to that right now, and many of the Republicans are. But we'll see how that plays out. The absentee ballot voting is okay, I guess. That doesn't seem to be a problem, but mail-in voting, I think, is fraught with possible fraud. So let's listen to Scott Lively as he explains why he's angry at Trump critics. Here we go.
Good morning. Dr. Scott Lively, it's June 23rd. I'm here in Barnyard Studios, and I'm really angry this morning. I'm angry at the critics of President Trump who are waging a campaign in order to try to force him into violating the Constitution and sending federal troops into the streets to go after these rioters and looters in defiance of the Democrat governors and mayors who are telling him that they don't want him to do that. All these things that are taking place, the burning of the buildings, the graffiti, the toppling of the monuments, all these things are street theater. They're designed to create the maximum amount of provocation. These are agents provocateur. They are attempting to provoke the president into violating the Constitution, and the media is all lined up drooling at the possibility of being able to switch the narrative to a civil war between the socialists and fascists, because that's what they're going to define the Trump administration as. They want to recreate the streets of Germany, of pre-Nazi Germany, when the communists were battling with the fascists in Munich and some of the other cities. And that's exactly what they want to happen. And Trump, to his great credit, has resisted that. He's put the blame right where it belongs, on these governors and on these mayors, by basically saying, I want to send in these troops, but I can't do it. I'm not going to do it unless you ask for it. Right? So the blame is squarely on their shoulders, and the entire world is having the opportunity to see the true face of Marxism, and that's all a good thing. But now there's this whole camp of conservatives led by Tucker Carlson at Fox News. Let me remind everybody, I haven't watched Fox News for at least 15 years. I got fed up when they kept going further and further to the left. Now Fox News is run by Murdoch's children, who are Hillary supporters. Now, Tucker Carlson usually has great things to say, and I admire his punditry most of the time. But he's way off base on this, and it just simply makes me wonder if Ann Coulter, that he's now just serving as a mouthpiece for somebody else. Now, how many of these people that are sitting in these gatekeeping positions, supposedly conservative organizations, are actually speaking for somebody else, that their sugar daddy or their benefactor? And I'm wondering if that's what's going on at Fox News. In any case, if I'm wrong, I apologize, but I'm mad about this, and so I've written a piece titled "Scott Lively Imagines the Hillary Administration." Let's just put all this in perspective. Let me just read this to you, and I encourage you to send this around to anybody that you see is wavering in their support for Trump. Over what I think are grossly unfair allegations, people that are missing the brilliant tactical decisions that Trump is making and letting these things play out in front of the electorate. Anyway, Scott Lively imagines the Hillary administration. The American public is a fickle beast with a short memory. One minute we're gushing with sycophantic praise for quote-unquote first responders, and the next we're debating whether they're all just racist brutes unworthy of public employment. One minute we're overcome with relief that Donald Trump's election saved us from an unsurvivable plunge into Marxist hell, and the next we're condemning him as a sellout because he won't trash the Constitution and deploy the military on American streets against the wishes of Democrat governors, who are doing everything in their power to provoke him into overruling them so they can transform what is presently only media-exaggerated Democrat-on-Democrat street theater into an outright socialist versus fascist civil war in which Trump plays the fascist. Thank God Donald Trump is a lot smarter than Tucker Carlson and the Hillary-supporting Murdoch children now running Fox News. Just to put things back into perspective for the conservatives, I'd like to take a few minutes to ponder where we'd be today if Hillary had beaten Trump in 2016. First of all, on the positive side, we wouldn't have the utter chaos that is presently on display. There would have been no Russian collusion hoax, no impeachment scam, no COVID-19 pandemic, or Black Lives Matter Antifa rioting, because these were all designated and designed to overthrow Trump. Our intelligence agencies would not be tarnished with shame for staging an attempted coup. Our media would not have abandoned its pretense of objectivity and become blatant partisans. Our Democrat governors and mayors would not have been granted dictatorial powers over the citizens. Religious liberty would not have been officially deemed a non-essential service. None of these things would have been orchestrated by the deep state because their champion Hillary would be at the helm. With no serious opposition to globalism, there would be relative peace and order, and all that corruption would stay hidden. We'd be full speed ahead with the left's agenda, spurred by nonstop media praise for her progress in social justice and the astonishing unity of vision among corporate America, academia, non-governmental organizations, labor unions, and foreign heads of state. There would possibly be some street protests by the deplorables, an occasional pro-life demonstration, perhaps a few pickets of drag queen story hour, but they'd be largely impotent and ignored by the media. Then again, the First Amendment might no longer protect quote-unquote hate speech. And vigorous criminal prosecutions and nonprofit disestablishment for such, quote, antisocial activities could be a Hillary priority. The Hillary IRS would gladly help with that. By now, both houses of Congress would be controlled by a supermajority of Democrats, the fruit of a fully implemented open border strategy and the perfection of ballot harvesting and other voter franchise, quote-unquote, protections by the DNC. The Bush dynasty would control the GOP and offer token resistance while selling out for a share of the plunder and some plum gatekeeper positions for key agents such as Mitt Romney, on the condition that they keep the conservatives suppressed, much like the Democrats' agreement with Rhino Charlie Baker, governor of Massachusetts. The courts would no longer protect us. There would be at least 150 new Hillary federal judges in place. None of the federal circuits would have been flipped conservative. At SCOTUS, the Supreme Court of the United States, in the place of occasional conservative weasels like Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, blame the Heritage Foundation for them, we'd have jurists in the mold of Gloria Allred and Maxine Waters. How do you like that? Ruth Bader Ginsburg would resign to allow Hillary to replace her with Obama, for whom the groveling John Roberts would relinquish his role as Chief Justice. Never again would SCOTUS issue a conservative ruling as it finished jackhammering the rest of the Bill of Rights, starting with the Second Amendment. The biggest difference we'd see is a globe dominated by communist China and prominent Chinese representation in Hillary's inner circle. The U.S. would have continued to transition to Obama's lower expectation economy, and our manufacturing base would have shrunk further. There would be no economic boom, no employment miracle for blacks and Hispanics, no shredding of bureaucratic red tape and overregulation, but instead a vast expansion of government, including the total nationalization of our health industry modeled on Obamacare. Our military, while fully homosexualized, would not be rebuilt, and our capabilities would be greatly diminished. Taiwan, Hong Kong, and the South China Sea would likely be fully under Chinese control. South Korea would possibly be under Northern control. Iran would have nuclear weapons and control of Yemen, Syria, and perhaps Lebanon. Netanyahu would have been ousted by pro-Clinton leftists, and Israel would be in some form of civil war over surrendering land to the Muslims with no friends outside its own borders. Brexit would never have been implemented in the UK, and the European Union would have consolidated its power as the model for global government, crushing all nationalist opposition. The United Nations would have a much expanded role in the United States, and its 2030 agenda would be the roadmap for world peace, pushed in our public schools, media, government agencies, and liberal churches, led by the Roman Catholic Church under Pope Francis, who, if you recall, was the one who launched the 2030 agenda at the United Nations with a speech. Just that.
Well, there's a couple of more minutes to that speech, but I think you get the idea of what the doctor is talking about. And we're cutting out here because I'm out of time. But I want to wish you all a happy 4th of July. Come back in 2 weeks and we'll do it again.